Okay, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us. And we are, by the grace of God, looking at the wisdoms of God, the hidden wisdoms of God that God had laid for us, for our glory. The Bible says, tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And basically this is our theme, that there are hidden wisdoms. And one of the greatest hidden wisdoms that God did is sending Christ and hiding him in plain sight. And we've been seeing how he hid him before Herod. He hid him in Egypt. He was able to hide him in Nazareth, in the place where nothing good comes out of it. He hid divinity in a man, in humanity. He hid himself. But you see, he came to reveal himself to little children. And one of the things that we've learned is that God has secrets, and his secrets are with those who fear him. The Bible tells us that the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, his counsel, and he shall show them his covenant. So one of the things that we see about God is that God is a God who loves to hide things. The Bible says it is the glory of God to hide a matter. It is the glory of kings to search it out. So God has made it in such a way that he hides things. He hides things. The Bible also tells us, he says that I am a God who hides himself, who hideth himself. So God has placed himself in a mystery, but it is not that he is a mystery not to be found, but actually he is in a place where those that are seeking for him, the Bible says, if you seek me and you seek me with all your heart, you will find me. So God is in a place where seekers find him, where those that seek him diligently with all their hearts come and find him. And so we've been looking at some of these hidden mysteries of God, hidden wisdoms of God. And one of the greatest places where that he has hidden himself is that he hid himself in the scriptures. And today, by the grace of God, is where we'll be able to see that. And first of all, just to start, we look at John chapter 5, and we want to see these guys who were diligently searching the scriptures because they thought that in them they have eternal life. But the scriptures bore witness of the Christ, yet they refused to come to him. And when we're in John chapter 5, we will read from verse 36. There's a context there, but I will not want to go into that for the time, but I just want to just pick that key verse, and then we'll be able to see what it means, that how Christ was hidden in the scriptures. And basically, even before we get to there, you must reckon that there were so many prophecies that spoke of the Christ, that they were always in the scriptures, and they knew the Christ was coming, but the exact time, the exact hour, how it will be, it was not clear to them. So anyway, let's read John chapter 5, and we are reading from verse 36. It says, but the testimony that I have is greater than that of John. And you know, earlier on, he was speaking about that, you know, when John came, you say that John witnessed to the truth. But now Jesus is trying to give a defense of himself. And he says, but the testimony I have is greater than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, and his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You diligently search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you." Let me just pause there and just put it in context. You know, they asked Jesus, by who authority, you know, by what witness are you preaching? Are you speaking to us? All these things. Because to them, you know, they will always say, you cannot bear witness of yourself. And so he starts to tell them that, you guys, when John came, you say that he bore witness to the truth. But then he says, but I have a witness that is greater than that of John. And what is that testimony? And the testimony is that the works that I do are the works that the Father sent me. Basically, he's telling them that, can't you see that the works that I do, the words that I say, the actions that I do, the miracles, the signs, the wonders are a witness, or rather God is testifying to you that he has sent the Christ. Think of when John the Baptist was in the prison and he sent his disciples to ask Jesus, to ask the Christ, are you the Christ? Are you the one, or should we expect another one? And then Jesus, what does Jesus tell him? Go and tell John that the blind see, the lame hear, the deaf, you know, the lame walk, the deaf hear, and you know, miracles are done, and the dead are raised. And why did he not just say, I am the one? He just told him, go and tell him this. Why? Because it was expected that John will know from the scriptures that, you know, when the person that will come, he will make the road straight such that the lame shall not remain lame. You know, that weak knees shall, the feet shall be strengthened. So in essence, these were witnesses and these were testimonies of the Christ. And so he says that the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, and his form you have never seen. Can you imagine? He's speaking to Pharisees. He's speaking to scribes, to teachers of the law, to people who had memorized the Torah. You know, the law of Moses, for you to be qualified as a Pharisee, you must have memorized it. You need to have studied under the greatest of tutors. Remember, like Paul had studied under the doctor of the law, who was Gamaliel, and he had studied under him. And so for you to be a Pharisee of the Pharisee, you must have studied. So they knew the scriptures. They had read the entire law. They had read the entire, you know, Old Testament. They knew it. But you see, he tells them that even while you read them, you have never heard the voice of God. And this is a challenge that you find today, that you find people who know the word, who know the scriptures, but you see, the scriptures have not revealed Christ to them. They have not heard the word of God. They have not seen the shape of God. They have not seen his form. They have never heard his voice. And the Bible says, and you do not have his word abiding in you. Because if they had the word of God abiding in them, and what does it mean to abide? It means that it has made its home in you. Because it's one thing to memorize. It's one thing to have, you know, mental knowledge. And when you find many people who argue over scriptures, many of them just have the mental knowledge of scriptures. But they don't have that word taking root and dwelling in them. And it tells them that because that word is not abiding in you, you have not believed in the one whom he has sent. So the word of God, remember, the word became flesh. The word that they have been reading is now walking before them, is the one that is speaking to them. That, you know, when I was saying that he came, that you could ask God directly, why was this man born blind? You know, because Christ was there. He was there when he was creating. In the beginning, he was there. That's why he can tell you that this man was not born blind because his parents sinned. Remember when he told them that if any of you be without sin, when he started writing on the ground, what do you think he was writing? He was going back and just recording and saying, okay, this is everyone here. You all came from this ground. I know each of you. Now, if any of you is without sin, and in fact, if you look at that word, if you go to the root, it says, if any of you can't sin, it's even more than if any of you is without sin, if any of you has no ability to sin, let him be the first to throw a stone. And they kept quiet, and the elders left. Then he was left alone. And then Jesus asked, where are they that accuse you? If they, no one condemns you, neither do I. Know that Jesus could not cast the stone. He could, because he had no sin. But you see, he was showing us that he is the carrier of life. And then he tells them that you search the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. So the Pharisees, for them, it was as they searched the scriptures. But you see, the problem is the scriptures were not open to them. You can open the scriptures, but the scriptures could not be open to you. Why? Because it takes revelation. It takes your eyes to be open. It takes God to open your eyes for you to make sense of scripture, for you to understand, because he is the author of the scriptures. The Bible says that all prophecy has its origin not in the will of man, but men, these holy men of God, they spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So it is the Holy Spirit who is the author of scripture. He is one author, but different writers. So there are many writers who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. All scripture is God-breathed. They were all inspired by the Holy Spirit, but they were different writers. That is why there are different forms of writing, different types of, but the author is the same. So unless you have known the Spirit of God, unless you come to him so that he can reveal to you the scriptures, unless you ask him, God, open for me the scriptures to understand. And that is why when Paul is telling the Ephesians, he prays for them. He says, I pray ever since I heard of your faith, Ephesians 1:15, I have not ceased to give thanks to God and to pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that your eyes be flooded with light. God desires that our eyes be flooded with light, that the eyes, the inner eyes of our understanding be open. The place that God wants us to get to is at a place where he has given us the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that we understand. So you can see that these men, they knew the scriptures, but they did not understand them. They came to him that has the light, but they did not, they came to the word, but they did not come to him that has life. Because the scriptures bear witness of the Christ. It bears witness of the Christ. And then he says, the reason why is because you refuse to come to me. You do not have the love of God within you. You know, God is not selective. God is not selective. God has made everything available, but it is for those who are seeking him. You see, when you think of Jesus, and maybe we can jump now to Luke chapter 10, and we see verse 21, where Jesus starts to give glory that these things were hidden from little children, but revealed. They were hidden from the prophets, but revealed. In Luke chapter 10, verse 21, in that the Bible says, in that same hour, he rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was for your gracious will, or for your good pleasure. Jesus say that he rejoices in the Spirit, that you know what? These things were hidden from the wise and understanding. Those who thought they were wise, but they were revealed to little children. Let us carry on. Verse 22. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Then turning to the disciples, he said privately,
Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Look at what God is saying. He's saying that the Father, no one can know the Father except the Son. And no one can, no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So knowing God is a revelation. And the Bible is telling us that, you know what? The reason you know it, the reason you know him, the reason you have come to understand him is because God has chosen to reveal himself to you. That's why the Bible says, before the foundations of the world were laid, he chose us in Christ to be beloved, to be the beloved, to be holy and blameless in his sight. Everything that you are in God, God chose you. He told Jeremiah, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you and I sanctified you. That means he made him holy. I set him apart and I sanctified you. And I called you to be a prophet unto the nations. Your life is not an accident. God has chosen you for a time, a season such as now, that you will come and know him. You will come and hear of him. You will come and understand him. And this moment, I am praying that your eyes are open, that your eyes be open, that the scales be open. You can think of his disciples on the road to Emmaus after Jesus had resurrected, and they were walking together, and then Jesus joins them. And the Bible tells us that as he walked with them, he started to show them the scriptures. He opened their eyes to understand, and he explained how from the scriptures, how, you know, from the law and the prophets, how they testified of the Christ. How they spoke of the Christ. And maybe let's just go to Luke 24 so that we can read that, and maybe that will be our last portion as we see. It says, Luke 24 from verse 25, he says, and he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? Verse 27, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village which they were going. He acted as if he was going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, did our hearts not burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? Can you see what Jesus did, the resurrected Lord? He showed them, beginning with Moses, that is, beginning with the law, and the prophets. He interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Why? Because everything that was written was just talking about the Christ. He was hidden in scriptures. And this was just one of the hidden wisdoms of God, that even the devil could not understand those scriptures, that they were speaking of the Christ. If they had known the rulers and powers and dominions of this earth, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And you see, whenever the scriptures are open to you, what happens, the Bible says, is your hearts burn. That's one way to have a witness that the Lord is speaking to your heart, speaking to your inner man, that your hearts are burning. Because Jeremiah says that his word is in me like a fire shut up in my bones. I cannot contain it. When the word of God comes to you, it has an effect, not only just a physical effect, but also the Lord gives you a sign within you that he is speaking, he is communicating to you, and you bear witness. The Bible says that his spirit bore witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So the Holy Spirit bears witness to our spirit. But also, unfortunately, the Bible says to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their face, because the veil is only taken away in Christ. It is only in Christ that the veil is taken away. A veil is like a cloth that covers the eyes of those who look at the scriptures as history, those who look at the scriptures for archaeological finds, those who look at the scriptures just to fight other religions. They are hidden. Their eyes are hidden. Their eyes are veiled. But the Bible tells us the veil is removed in Christ. It is only taken away in Christ. And the Bible says that now we, who the veil has been taken away in Christ, with open faces, beholding as in a mirror, are beholding the glory of God, are being transformed into that very image, into the same very image. When the veil is taken away, when it is taken away in Christ, you can see God. And the Bible says when you see his glory, when you behold his glory, you are transformed into that glory, into that same image from one level of glory to another. For me, it's a place of humility to know that God loved us, God chose us to know him, that we are little children. These things were hidden from the kings. It was hidden from the prophets. It was hidden from the wise and understanding. But God hid himself for our glory, that a time as now we shall come to know him, we shall come to encounter the truth, we shall come to experience him. And I'm praying that God will help us, will open our eyes, just as on the road to Emmaus, we shall start to see him. We shall start to see him in the Old Testament. We shall start to see him when he's revealed in Melchizedek. We shall see him when he's revealed to Manoah. We shall see him when he's revealed in Isaac, when he's revealed to Abraham. We shall see him when he's revealed in Moses, in Joshua. We shall see him in every part of it. We shall see all these archetypes of Christ, because the Bible tells us the law is a shadow of the things to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. May we no longer live in the shadows. May we come to the reality. May God open our eyes. May the scales fall off. That may we see the truth of the Christ. May we see the truth of the gospel. May we see that these scriptures speak of Christ, that our search might not just be futile like the Pharisees, but that word may it abide in our hearts. May we love God, and may our eyes behold him. And as we behold him, that which we see, we become. Because there's a principle in scriptures that what you see, you become. What you see, you become. As far as your eyes can see. Abraham was told, as far as your eyes can see. So don't see failure. Don't see fear. Don't see disappointment. Continue to see your growing. Continue to see your success. Continue to see your increase. Continue to see the levels that God is lifting you up to by his word, by his truth. Continue to see the glory of God. And that same glory that you see, you become it. Because what you have seen, you have received the right to become it. I'll stop there, my brothers and sisters. You're welcome. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Emmanuel. Wonderful. Thank you. Indeed, I think we see the truth. Not for those that are elite, those that are white, it was for everyone. And I think that is what you, the child, like. Look, in the book of John, I think the Pharisees focused the religion of following and the laws. They were so blinded to see the word that they were reading come before them. I think they focused so much on it, you know. They're looking at And I think it is common today, even in churches, we see that the men of God, some of them also focused on the prestige, the churches that build, all the good things that come with the churches that build, and sometimes they forget the word is Christ.
Mm.
But also we are far encouraged to see it. Jesus does not need their approval.
Mm.
I think it's a reminder to us that no matter what we do in life, as much as we don't get God's approval, it doesn't. We can be approved by the highest powers in this world, but if not approved what you're doing, then you should be concerned.
Mm.
I think that was a good reminder. Thank you.
Amen. 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 We pray that the eyes of all be open. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We give you glory. We thank you for your word, that indeed you call us to have childlike faith. As my brother has mentioned, that indeed may we just seek you for who you were and find you. Indeed, you shall be found by those who seek you. I pray for seekers today that their eyes may be open. For those who are looking for truth, may the teacher come to them. Because indeed, I say that our teacher shall not be hidden from us, O God. Indeed, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. May the teacher, the Holy Spirit, the anointing that teaches us all things, come and before and teach us, O God. May we see Christ, 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 Christ revealed, the hope of glory. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Thank you that you have chosen us, O God, not of our own doing, not of our own ability, not of our own righteousness, but it was your mercy. May you continue to open our hearts, open our minds, open our understanding. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed day.